Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network joins us now. And, Doug, we have seen the last 2 days of practices here at minicamp. What are some of the things that have jumped out at you?
Well, I think, you know, when Chud yesterday said that, you know, it's a learning rather than evaluation. And I think, you know, it's not only, you know, the players learning the offense, it's the coaches learning about the players. And, you know, I think it also tells you a lot about how smart your guys are, because you're going to be asked to absorb a lot of new things in a short period of time. And what used to be this now is this, and what was this is now that. And, you know, I think, you know, sometimes a smart football team can outperform their ability. And that's one of the things that you're looking for. And I think, you know, Brandon Whedon, you know, said yesterday, he said he did kind of a analysis of, you know, how he played last year. And he said, you know, I padded the ball. Obviously, you know, he said he watched every game. So he realized that, you know, he's kind of under the microscope. And the other thing I thought that was interesting, he said that he was slow in his getting back, you know, out of center. And, you know, when Thaddeus Lewis went in that last game, it just seemed like he got back so quick. And I thought, geez, it seems different than, you know, what Brandon was doing. So when you notice, you know, some of your shortcomings and you correct them, then you can have a pretty productive offseason.
Yeah, and I think the other keys, you're hearing Whedon talk after practice yesterday, is saying how much of a better fit he sees this offense for him. Working from shotgun quite a bit of the time. I think he mentioned that it's about 70% of the time that Phillip Rivers was working in shotgun when North Turner was the head coach of the Chargers, and now he's got North Turner as his offensive coordinator, and he likes the deep throwing elements of it, obviously taking advantage of his arm. He likes that comfort feel that he has working from shotgun, and the pacing of the offense, that everything does move at a quicker pace, and that was noticeable when we watched practice.
Well, yeah, not only does it move at a quicker pace, but when you got a year of experience, it's easier to move at a quicker pace. But, yeah, I think, you know, the thing about it is, you know, it's going to be a pretty much of a wide-open offense. And, you know, sometimes you see coaches come in with an offense and they say, okay, guys, this is what we're going to run, but it doesn't really fit the personnel. And I think, you know, with the mix of, you know, having Gordon and Little and, you know, adding a couple receivers, there seems to be a more natural way to mesh together than what you had last year. And I think, you know, sometimes you're trying to put the square peg in a round hole.
And I think, too, year two for Whedon, so important with his maturity development, even though he's 28, well, he's 29, but he came in as a 28-year-old rookie, and he made this point. He still was a rookie. There still wasn't, in his mind, a sense that he could be a very vocal leader, because he had to find his way and kind of see what his place was on that team. And maybe he should have overcome that sooner, but it sounds like he's had more time to reflect on that and say, I'm going to be more of that leader now, because I trust what I know and I trust my place on this team.
Well, and a lot of times you have to earn your leadership. You know, it's by what you do. And, you know, it's hard sometimes if you're not performing at a high level to be the vocal guy when, you know, people are going to say, what are you talking about? You're not doing that well yourself. So I think, you know, he knows that his level of play has to increase. And with that, you know, increase in the level of play, I think people will look at him differently, and it's a natural leadership. It's not a forced one. And I think you watch DeQuell Jackson, the way he goes about it. You know, he grabs guys and talks to them. But DeQuell's been in the league 6 or 7 years now, so it's, you know, taken him some time. Joe Thomas is a leader. Joe is more of a silent leader. He doesn't say a lot, but, you know, Joe observes a lot, and, you know, and he, you know, he relates what he thinks. So there's some good, you know, leaders, you know, on this football team. Taba Rubin doesn't say anything, but you watch him play, and the way he hustles, that's leadership. I mean, if you're Phil Taylor and you're watching a Taba Rubin and you're watching films, and, you know, you're going, my motor isn't going as fast as his, then you know, all of a sudden you feel a little embarrassed. And if you're an athlete and you got any amount of pride, that motivates you.
The fact that Whedon is taking the first team reps at quarterback, and Joe Banner had said he would come in at the top of the depth chart at quarterback for this offseason, but it doesn't necessarily mean he's locked anything in, and I think Brandon is acknowledging that himself. But Jason Campbell is here, and he's experienced, and obviously he's here to compete for that starting job, or at least remind Brandon Whedon that this is not yours just because, and you've got to earn it. But I wonder what the presence of Campbell really does mean here. And watching him throw the football, I mean, he made some nice throws in practice as well, and he certainly looks very comfortable in North Turner's offense.
Well, and the other thing about it is he also fits it much better than probably Colt did. You know, Colt was more of a West Coast type guy where he could move around in the pocket and throw on a run, where, you know, Campbell's a big, I mean, he's big, and you don't realize it till you see him standing next to Whedon. He is big. You know, he's got the arm, and he can play the vertical game. But, you know, going back to when he played when he was with the Raiders, for we, you know, heard him in the game. You know, he had some pretty nice numbers. I mean, he was performing at a high level. Didn't throw a lot of interceptions, and had quite a few touchdowns. So, you know, the thing about, you know, now you got depth also at that, where if something happens to Whedon, and, you know, we saw it last. It happened last year. And the year before, we saw it happen to everybody. So it's nice to have, you know, somebody that fits your offense that you can plug in case something happens.
Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So, Doug, as we look at other spots that we pay attention to in this mini camp, I think receiver is a big one, and especially Josh Gordon, now with the benefit of some offseason work, something he didn't have last year. He just looks more physically, he looks more impressive, but it looks like he also has a better, much better understanding and grasp of what he's doing.
Yeah, and but by the same token, you have to remember, he sat out a year. Last year was his first year back. He was in one offense. Now this year, you know, he's in another offense. So, you know, I always say, you know, when you got to think, it slows you down. So hopefully he can absorb it. And I think that's the learning part that Chud was talking about the other day. You know, when you start learning, then the speed of play picks up.
And I like the fact, speaking of wide receivers, I like the fact that Travis Benjamin was used quite a bit on a lot of the routes that I saw in practice, because people keep saying, get Tavon Austin, draft that guy from West Virginia. He's so fast. He's so explosive. Okay, but Travis Benjamin is really that guy. He's fast. He's not big, and Tavon Austin isn't big. So I think you can utilize him as an explosive force, but the key is that he's got to consistently catch the ball, that he's got to act as a true receiver instead of a return guy who occasionally plays receiver.
Well, a receiver just doesn't run go routes to clear out.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's I think we saw a little bit of that, you know, last year, some of the routes that he ran, that, you know, he is more than a go route receiver. He's a guy that, you know, you can sneak underneath. He's a guy that you can run out patterns with. Because of his quickness, people are going to back off of him.
And another second-year guy, we shouldn't call him just another second-year guy, Trent Richardson, such a major component to everything this offense will do this year. I know we focus on the quarterback thing, but he talks about being healthier, and he should feel that way with time to heal from the knee issue, the rib issue, all that he had that bothered him last year. And he also seems a little lighter to me. It looks like he came in, dropped some weight, and he commented on that too, just the fact that he just feels quicker.
Well, I think, you know, last year sitting out for basically a month in training camp, you know, you can't do anything. You're gonna put on some pounds. But I also think he probably got a better feel for what the NFL game is all about. And the fact that you got this, you know, wide open kind of offense where you're going to spread it out, you're going to be in the shotgun, you know, teams are going to have to defense the entire field. So all of a sudden, you know, that should open up some lanes. And, you know, you look at Norv Turner's, you know, success rate with running backs, Tomlinson and Emmitt Smith, you know, I think that probably appeals to him too.
The defense is new, and new scheme, new coaches, new ideas. Interesting to see how these guys are lining up. I noticed, obviously, some issues with people kind of being in those wrong places, and Ray Horton, the defensive coordinator, having to kind of make sure everybody was where they were supposed to be. But that's to be expected. But I thought what really jumped out at me was the speed of some of these guys. Paul Kruger, for one, you'd expect he's going to be explosive coming off at that one linebacker spot. But Quentin Groves really grabbed my attention with how fast he can run.
Yeah, I was practicing today. I go, who's 54? I mean, he's a big, thick guy. And, you know, you talk about leaders. When they called a team together, you know, he was the second guy there right after DeQuell. So, you know, he's got some experience in the league, and he's, you know, going to bring it to the linebacker position, because we lost some experience at the linebacker position, and Scott and Chris Gokong.
Yeah, and it's nice to see, okay, Phil Taylor, John Hughes, those guys lining up in those middle spots. And again, in mini camp, I mean, we're not seeing contact, and we're not seeing really blocking, and we're not going to see any form of tackling, but just the get off, how quickly they kind of get off the line. And I think the key isn't just to have big guys who tie people up, that old-style traditional nose tackle, but a guy who penetrates.
Well, not only penetrate, but he can go up and down the line which either way, and that makes it tough for an offensive lineman. If you know the guy's only going to go one direction and it's going to be on your outside shoulder, he's going to try to run you over or whatever, you can lock into that. But, when you get a guy that, he might try to go inside, then all of a sudden you got to start playing soft, and if you start playing soft, then they can overpower you because those are powerful guys we're talking about.
Sure.
So I think it's going to be interesting. I think probably the most interesting is going to be Jabal Sheard, because watching him, it looked like he had more success on the other side, but he's going to have to adapt to it because they went out and they got Paul Kruger, and Sheard is a pretty athletic kid for a defensive end that's converting. And I look over at Indianapolis last year, when they tried to switch their guys there, and Freeney, looked kind of out of place, where I don't think Sheard looks quite that out of place yet.
I know you watch the O-line closely. You always do. It's your thing. Is anybody there or anything there, even in these non-contact drills, jumping out at you?
No, I think offensive linemen, when you're not blocking anybody or doing live pass protection, it's hard to evaluate. And we've always said you don't see guys cutting the NFL and the offensive line because they can't run block; it's because they can't pass block. So as long as you're not doing those drills, you don't have any idea where they're at.
Right. I mean, just that.
But we know what we got in Joe Thomas, and we got a good idea what we got in Mitchell Schwartz, because as a rookie, he took every snap. Alex Mack, is obviously a solid productive center that has played very well in his few years here. The guards, we don't know about Jason, but the fact that he's been cleared is a good sign. And then Sean Laval, he's a tough guy there. He just has to learn sometimes when not to take penalties.
Yeah, I think that's where most of the eyeballs are going to be focused too. Those two guard spots and how that develops, whether or not this team drafts a guard next week, we'll see. But I really think those guys are in the closest scrutiny department of the whole line.
Yeah, and I think if you take a guard, it's not going to be early; it's going to be later on, because obviously with the need for cornerback and safety, you've got to try to address that if you can.
Sure. All right, Doug, great, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good.
He is Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and we've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.